Hello everybody, it's Gary Stuckey back once again. Are you ready for another exciting interview? That's right. And today we've got Carrie Kelly of Night Ranger, the awesome guitarist, talking about a brand new album. It's going to be released tomorrow. Also talking about the fact that he's played with everybody in the world, all kinds of cool bands and artists. He's played with Alice Cooper and Slash, you know those guys? He's played with Vince Neil and Janie Lane. And he's even played with John Waite. I mean, come on now. And he's played with a guy named Damon Johnson. You might know him. He's from Monroeville, Alabama, just up the road from me, 30 miles away, just saying. That's who he's talking about at the beginning of this interview. And, you know, a lot of cool stories. You don't want to miss it. It's a lot of fun. You'll find out some information you didn't know about, and you'll listen with a smile. So here we go. Here's Carrie Kelly.
Brother?
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Going good. How you doing out there?
Doing good. I'm over here in Alabama, Brewton, Alabama. You ever been there?
Where at? In Alabama?
Brewton, Alabama. It's on the it's close to Florida, down close to the border of Florida, about 20 miles. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've been there specifically, but I've been through Alabama many a time. My old guy who I played guitar with lived in. Where was he at? Oh, fuck, what was the city? I can't remember, but anyway, all good, brother.
Awesome.
Glad we're talking.
Hey, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to talk about the new album you got coming out, right, with Night Ranger.
Coming out on Friday.
On Friday, that's right. We'll be talking about that. But welcome to the Real Music Podcast. I was going over your... you know, your stats here, you know, your resume, right? And you've been with every band that's ever existed, right?
Well, I guess a lot of them. I've been very fortunate the last, whatever, 25 years to play with a lot of great people, you know, so
that's awesome.
I'm a survivor. Let's put it that way.
You survived and kept going.
And
you grew up in 70s and 80s, right? And I'm guessing, right, you're what, 49 years old, I'm thinking?
Right? That's right, yeah. I mean, you know, late 70s, I was kind of, you know, a little kid, but, you know, kind of figuring out what music was. My parents played a lot of music at the house, you know, and so that was rad. And then
Right. Obviously
got into guitar in the 80s when it was really the big old, you know, rock and roll heyday, or commercial rock, I guess, and here we are, and I can't believe it, 2021, jeez.
And when you were growing up listening to these bands, what were some of the bands that you listened to, and you said, man, I want to play guitar just like that guy? Who were some of those guys?
Well, I didn't, you know, when I was really young, I didn't really understand it. Of course, I just, you know, my parents would just put the records on, and, you know,
Right. I
didn't really know what it was all about. But, you know, they listened to a lot of Rolling Stones and a lot of, my dad liked a lot of, like, you know, like power blues stuff, like ZZ Top. Obviously, I know not to bring that up because of Dusty, but
Right. He
loved the ZZ Top
Awesome.
And Johnny Winter stuff. And then Queen, and my mom actually took me when I was 7 years old to go see Queen, which was, you know, you're a little kid, you don't really understand, but I went to the,
Right. The
Forum, which is out here in Los Angeles, like 20,000 people, and you're
Wow.
like watching this, you're like, holy mackerel, you know?
Right.
I guess I kind of just started getting into it around that time, but I still didn't really, when you're that young, you know, you're in whatever it is, second grade or third grade, it's hard to get your head around guitar or drums or whatever. You're just kind of trying to figure out where all this noise is coming from, but you like the noise, you know?
Exactly. And so what age were you when you decided that you wanted to play guitar?
My grandma first bought me a little drum set. I was like 11, I believe.
Oh, wow.
But then it was like, you know, one of these cheap little things that I ended up breaking that thing like in the first, like, you know, couple of days.
Right.
And then I don't know if I actually asked them for a guitar or they just go, well, that didn't work. Let's get them the guitar.
So
I don't, can't remember because I was, you know, 11 years old. So I don't know, what are you, like fourth grade or fifth grade, something like that.
Right.
But that was around the time I started kind of trying to do it. And then, you know, I started getting some lessons, I think, when I was at like 12 or something like that. And then you know, it takes time, especially when you're that young, to get your head around it, you know?
Right. And I'm sure you learned a lot probably at one time. It probably, you know, you had to absorb everything. And did you have somebody to teach you, or did you teach yourself, or how did that work out?
Yeah, no, like I said, I had this guitar teacher for like 6 or 9 months, and he was more of a jazz guitar teacher, which, you know, at the time, you know, I was like, what the hell is this? You know, I want to learn how to play, you know, Crazy Train by Ozzy or whatever it was, Van Halen, you know, and he's teaching me like the real stuff, which actually worked out in my favor later on, because, you know, a lot of guys, especially rock guys, don't really know much about theory per se.
Right.
I mean, they might be great players, but, you know, he actually taught me all, you know, the modes and arpeggiated things and broken chords and, you know, like I said, more jazz fusion type stuff. So it really helped me when later on when I was really trying to learn more things on my own, you know, by ear and things like that, because I already had a foundation.
Awesome. And so what were some of the first bands that you played with?
It's kind of, you know, just little local bands and crap like that. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I had this band called Empire. And I was always like, which even to this day, I'm always pretty much the youngest guy in the band, you know?
Right.
But back then I was like, you know, when I really started playing 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, I was playing a lot, you know, 'cause I had nothing else to do back then, you know?
Right.
So I'd be playing 5, 6, 7 hours a day. So I kind of got pretty good. So I was playing with dudes that were like, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old. And I was like this 15-year-old kid.
Right.
But yeah, I had this band called Empire playing up in L.A. And then when I was like 19, I kind of started my own band in L.A. called Big Bang Babies. It was kind of like a 70s glam type of band. It was like Sweet and Slade and things like that. But we tried that for a couple years. It obviously didn't work. And then that's when I kind of started looking around for, you know, quote unquote, more professional gigs, you know, after I gave it a shot with my own bands a couple of times, it was just didn't work. So, you know, then I started playing with guys like Tal Bachman, which is Randy Bachman's son, who he was on Columbia at the time, Columbia Records, CBS. Then I got a gig playing in Rat, which is like, you know, another kind of 80s rock band. And then it just kind of went on from there, you know, Slash and Vince from Motley and Alice Cooper and John Waite, the thing, you know, here,
so,
blah, 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 blah. And here we are, Night Ranger.
That's just crazy, though. Yeah, I'm looking at the list, though, like you said. Playing with Slash, though, I mean, how does one play with Slash? Did you say, hey, Slash, I want to play with you? No, I mean, how do you get a gig to play with Slash?
Well, I had kind of known him before, a couple of years prior. He had a band called Snake Pit, which was the band, Slash Snake Pit.
Right.
And I knew the guys in the band, so, you know, I'd go over to the house because it was kind of like they would rehearse at Slash's house. You know, he had a killer house in Beverly Hills and stuff. And so it was like a hangout / jam / rehearsal, you know, situation. So, you know, be like, oh, hey, let's come over to the house. We're going to be drinking some beers or playing pool and then jamming. So what had happened was, to be honest with you, my friend who was in the band at the time was also playing with Alice Cooper. And so this was like, I guess this was like 2000, the starting of 2000 or 99. And, anyway, they had an Alice Cooper tour coming up, but Slash wanted to start going out and playing with the band. So, basically they had me, they go, do you want to come play with us? You know? And I said, sure. So they gave me a tape of like the songs they were working on. And then I went over there and brought my gear and everything. And then, we rehearsed. And then when I was getting ready to leave, I go, okay, cool. It was awesome jamming, guys. You know, totally cool. And I go, I told the guitar tech, Adam Day, which is Slash's like long-time guitar tech, Adam. I go, hey, Adam, I'm going to grab my stuff. You know, I'm going to load it in my car or whatever. He goes, just leave it here. And I go, are you sure? And he goes, believe me, just leave it. Everything's fine. I go, okay, cool. Then I go, all right, guys, I'm going to leave, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're, okay, cool, whatever. And then I think the next day or that night, Slash just called and said, do you want to be in the band?
Wow.
And I said, of course.
Wow. Why not? You're not going
to. It was so funny when I was going to load my amp back up and stuff. I'm going to take the stuff. Adam goes, don't just leave it here. Everything's fine.
There's your sign. Hey, that's pretty cool. You know, yeah, you're not going to say, nah, I got other things to do. Yeah, what else you got to do? Yeah, come on, man.
It was a pretty cool experience, and those are all great guys. I mean, I know you've heard the stories about, you know, Flash or Alice, and
right.
I mean, they're some of the coolest guys in rock and roll. I mean, just normal dudes that love to play and create music, and you know, I think I've been blessed to be able to jam with dudes like that.
And so somebody like Slash, though, a lot of people probably are thinking, like you said, he's a nice guy, and you had a lot of good times with him, but a lot of people are probably thinking, you know, he's probably a jerk, or he's probably this, but like you said, he's a decent guy, right? And he had a lot of good memories.
You know, especially people think, you know, the Guns N' Roses kind of like the bad boy thing or whatever, but no, I mean, he's literally mellow as hell, man.
Wow.
I mean, he's awesome.
Wow. And and you're playing with people like Janie Lane of Warrant.
Yep.
So how'd you connect with him?
That was a little bit before this period with Slash and stuff. It was like the middle or late 90s. Like I think it was like around 96 or 7. We kind of started this jam band. I had kind of known him from around town, from in LA. I mean, he wasn't my best friend at the time, but, you know, you're around at a, you know, club
right.
or whatever, hanging out, whatever. So we started this jam band thing, and that was just basically, it was like myself, this Mike Bassano guy played drums. We had Robbie Crane, who was in Rat at the time, played bass, and you know, obviously myself and Janie singing. And we would just go out and play, like, shows for fun. Like, we'd go to Arizona or go to Vegas or play right. here in California a little bit, San Diego and stuff, and we would just play like some Warrant songs. We'd play other things we really liked, like Thin Lizzy and, you know, Aerosmith, and, you know, just have a good time, basically. And then that kind of developed into he and I writing a lot of songs together at my studio. And, you know, it just went from there. So it just, I mean, literally mainly about just having fun playing together, you know, and then just one thing led to another.
Awesome. Is there a memory of Janie that stands out in your mind that you really think about every time you think about him?
Oh, we had so many good times, man. I mean, you know, everybody kind of knows that he, you know, has had his ups and downs, or, you know, they say, oh, he has his demons, you know, everybody
right.
says things like that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, he loved drama for some reason, but, you know, some of my coolest memories, dude, are he would come over here to my house. I live in Southern California in Orange County, so it's like about an hour south or a little bit more than from LA. You know, so he lived in LA, so it's kind of a little bit of a drive. Not a big drive, but when we were writing songs or working here at my studio, you know, he would come down and spend the night. We'd work in the day and then go out to a sushi place at night and just have watch TV and just totally normal stuff. So I mean, I just think about things like that all the time. Just him being, I'm at the same house that I was, you know, back then when we were working together a lot. And,
right.
You know, I miss the guy. We had a lot of good times and fun times, and we wrote a lot of fun songs together, and it was very easy to work together on writing songs and stuff. But, yeah, just things like that. Like I said, going out to the sushi restaurant down over here by my house, and just hanging around, man. I miss the guy.
Yeah. And whenever you're about to join a band, I know you've been in a lot of bands. How many bands have you been in, by the way? Have you kept a record? Like, it's been this many.
I don't know. I was doing an interview the other day, and they were kind of making a little bit of a joke. I mean, it was just for fun, but they were like,
yeah.
Oh, the band that's been in 100 bands, and once we name the band, they go, okay, now we're down to 97. Okay, 93.
We're losing bands. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I've never really counted, you know. I mean, some bands, like, to be honest with you, I know if you look on the Wikipedia and all that stuff that, you know, it says I was in this band or that band, but some of them, I wasn't really in the band. I kind of just like was like, I helped them out. Like they go, hey, we have this tour. This guy can't make it. Can you play with us
right.
or whatever? And so I kind of, I did, you know? So it's a little bit misleading.
Right.
I have played with a lot of people and like I said, I'm proud of it. I mean, I love playing, and I want to entertain people.
There you
know?
Go. Yeah. And what do you have on your mind, like, before you join a band, if you get, you know, asked to join a band or they're talking about it, how do you prepare for that? Or what do you think, what's on your mind as you're about to start a band or, you know, join a band?
Oh, I just try to, you know, do my job, which is obviously why they're usually hiring.
Right.
Yeah, I've been in so many weird situations. I mean, some bands where they called me the day before the show and said, dude, we need your help, or help. We need a guitar player quick tomorrow, you know, and so it's a lot of fun situations, but, you know, I just, usually then they send me the set list or send me the songs or email me the songs, go, here's the songs, you know, learn them, you know, we'll see you tomorrow or we'll see you next week, and I just do my best, and I want to. That's really about it. I don't think about anything but just getting in just there and trying to nail it the best I can, you know, for them.
No pressure or anything, right? Here's the set list. Yeah. Have it ready by tomorrow. Let's play.
Yeah. Oh, it's happened before. It's crazy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow. And
One time these guys asked me, it was so ironic. It was actually, it was Pretty Boy Floyd, which I had played with in the past, but I wasn't in the band. And it was the most ironic situation. I was getting gas in my car. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was getting gas in my car. We were going to, I know I mentioned sushi already, but sushi is like my favorite food. One of my buddies owns a sushi place over here. I was going to the sushi restaurant. This guy calls me and goes, hey, listen, hey, I need your help. I mean, it's an emergency. I can't go to Japan. Can you go? And I said, yeah, when? Go to Japan, dude. Tomorrow.
Of course.
Literally. And it was weird. I was going to the sushi place, you know, Japanese food.
Right.
And then it's literally tomorrow. He goes, I got to buy you a ticket right now. I got to do it. Whatever. You got to leave in the morning. And I went and did it.
That's
it was
crazy.
So funny. Like I said, I had already played with those guys in the past, so I knew the song or whatever.
That helps. Wow.
Yeah, you never know who's going to call you, who's on the other line. So just pick the phone up, and you never know what opportunity could be there, you know?
Well, you've got the experience, I mean, so I guess if you were having pizza, somebody from Italy would have called you the next day and said, hey, you're coming to Italy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just the wildest thing. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what are you telling me right now? I thought it was just so wild, but I did it, and we had a good time, and
wow.
And I helped them out, you know? They needed a guitar player, and they called me, and I did it for them.
And that, there you go. So I hope you have that on your resume, you know, spur of the moment guy. We'll travel tomorrow to Japan with sushi in hand.
If an emergency, you know, comes up, give this guy a call, you know, dial me.
Exactly. Right. Don't call 911. Call him. Because he's ready. He's ready to go. And so you, a lot of times when you're with these groups, there have been like auditions, or did they say, well, this guy's been with a bunch of bands, let's get him, or do they go, you need to try out for this band? How does that work out?
You know, a lot of them were not really auditions, you know. I mean, I kind of knew people in the band, or we had played together in like one of these jam bands I kind of told you about.
Right.
So it's kind of like sometimes it just is what it is. I mean, I know one time I did audition in the late 90s for Rat, but I had already played with Bobby, the drummer, Blotzer,
right.
And Robbie, as I told you, that band Robbie and I had,
right.
With Janie. So I knew those guys, and they needed another guitar player because Robin, the original guitar player, was too sick,
right.
to go on, you know, tour and stuff like that. And so they had auditions. They go, you know, Carrie, you want to audition, you know, for us or whatever. I had never met, you know, Steven before, the singer, or Warren, the guitar player, you know, Warren DeMartini.
Right.
And they had 2 days worth of rehearsals set up, or auditions, I guess it was. And you went in there and you played, like, I think it played 3 songs or 4 songs, something like that. It was like 15 minutes or 20 minutes. They had guys like every half hour. And you're going to love this again. another Japanese reference, I swear to God. So I think I auditioned like in the middle of the day. I think they were doing them from like noon to 5 or something like that every half hour. You know, they had like 20 guys coming or something, you know, 10 one day, 10 the next day.
Right.
Anyway, I auditioned like in the afternoon at like 3 o'clock or 3:30 or something like that. Played, okay, hey guys, all right, bye-bye, everything's cool. I went to my friend's house that lived down the street, this guy Mike Fasano, who I said the same dude that played drums with us in that Janie jam band.
Yeah.
Went to his house, because we were going out to sushi. I swear to God. We were going to, because I go, I'm not going to drive home. It was traffic. They were rehearsing in L.A., and like I said, I live in Orange County. It's like, during traffic, takes two and a half hours to get home. I was, fuck that, dude.
Wow.
So we're going to go out and grab some sushi. At about 5 o'clock, the manager called and just offered me the gig right on the spot. They go, hey, we're done with the auditions for today. Listen, talk to the guys. They want you to be in the band. If you want to be in the band, we're going to cancel the auditions for tomorrow.
Wow.
What do you think? And I said, sounds good. That was it.
It was that. It's that simple, you know? Well, yeah. I mean, in the sushi. This podcast is paid for by sushi. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I'm not even bullshitting you on that. You know, with the sushi. I should go to sushi tonight, dude. I might get a call from like Led Zeppelin. Or
hey,
something.
There you go. You never know. That, hey, expect good things to happen. I'm just saying. Oh
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Well, and but you're growing up though, like you said, like 70s, 80s, and you're listening to all these bands, and you ever playing with some of these guys that you listen to and you go, and it kind of dawns on you, I'm playing with these guys in a band. It's kind of like with Night Ranger there. Do you say, man, I grew up listening to these guys and now I'm playing the guitar with them. Does that ever freak you out?
I mean, it was like the oddest thing, you know, like in the beginning, of course, like whether it's Rats or Slash or, you know, I'm talking 22, 3, 4 years ago.
Right.
You know, in your mind, even though you kind of know the guys or whatever, but you still think, fuck, I used to go see these guys play, like when I was like, you know, 15 years old, and then like your phone rings and like Slash is calling you. It's like
just the
weirdest, like,
yeah,
mine's like, it's like trips you out a little bit. I mean, and you know, it's, you know, you, okay, yeah, this guy's my friend, but
right. You're
still kind of thinking like, man, this is wild, dude. You know,
it's just,
so yeah, it still happens. You know,
it just boggles your mind, I guess. But that's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
And
whenever you're playing guitar, like with some of the bands that had an original guitar player, you know, that people know of, do you try to do your own thing, or you try to mimic some of their style, what do you do there?
Yeah, I mean, if there's signature guitar parts, of course I try to play them, you know, play them properly, you know, you know if there's like specific harmony lines or like, you know, just notable guitar solos and things like that,
right?
You know, but sometimes these great guitar players that I've had to step into their shoes or their gigs, you know, there's times where they're just improvising and like jamming at the end of the song, they're just, you know, going crazy, and then right. I can kind of do my own thing. But of course when you have the signature guitar parts, you want to do them justice and really nail those, you know, do them the proper way.
Right. And you work with Alice Cooper. What was your first conversation with Alice Cooper? How do you just hang out with Alice Cooper and chat? You know, what's a conversation like with Alice?
that was another.
You had sushi.
Another kind of that actually didn't have anything to do with sushi, but it was another. So that gig, how that came about was around the Slash time. Like I said, the guitar player Ryan, who was playing with Slash before I was playing with Slash, like I said earlier, had this gig with Alice.
Right.
And there was a tour, and we were off with Slash. I think it was in 2000 or maybe 2001. I can't remember the date. We were like not on tour at the time. And they had called me, I think first maybe Ryan called me or the manager called me and said, hey, listen, there's a situation to where the other guitar player, wasn't Ryan, might have to leave the tour because of a family emergency. We need a fucking backup guitar player to be able to come in, you know, on an emergency.
Right.
And I said, okay, cool, yeah, no problem. They go, we're going to fly you out to this show because we want you to watch the show because, you know, Alice, it's not just like you're up there jamming. You've really got to... It's a show, you know,
exactly.
A two-hour show.
Right.
So I went out there and I watched the band play sound check and then that concert, and they gave me a cassette tape of the show. They, like, you know, recorded it on a cassette. And they go, learn this tape and just be ready. And I said, okay. And then so nothing happened for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Then I get a call, like, from the tour manager, like, in the middle of the night. hey, something might happen tomorrow. Be ready for my phone call in the morning for a flight. Okay,
oh,
cool.
Wow.
Nothing happened. You know, a few days later, get ready for tomorrow. Nothing happened. You know, oh, my, okay, I think you're coming on Friday. Anyway, nothing ever happened. The family emergency didn't happen while they were on the tour. But that was kind of like my first introduction to Alice himself, even though I knew the guys in the band. Like Eric Singer was playing drums. I knew him, like I said, Brian and
awesome.
Some other dudes. But that was my first, when I first met Alice, was that. It was, once again, I was going to be like this emergency guitar player just to come in. And then, you know, then it was like a few years later. I think I was 2000 or maybe 2001. And then, like, whatever, 4 years later, they needed a guitar player, and then that's when they got me in the band.
Awesome. And did Alice ever give you any advice or anything, or some of his wisdom that he always shares with people? Yeah. Or what's something he told you that you're like, I'm going to remember that?
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you.
Okay. That's
no, he was great, and that was another weird thing. You know, when I got in the band, myself and the other just the instruments, the band guys. It was still Eric Singer on drums, Chuck was playing bass, obviously me on guitar, and mm-hmm. another guy Damon on guitar, Johnson. We rehearsed for like a day and a half. We only had like a day and a half to rehearse for whatever reason, and Alice wasn't even there. So technically, like the first time I really played with them, we flew up to Canada, and we were starting this Canadian tour. It's like 5,000 people at this like mini, you know, hockey arena up there. You know, millions of these hockey arenas, Canada, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the first, so we didn't even really practice too much, and I've never even really played technically with Alice. And then we went up there and did a 2-hour show. It was awesome.
I guess that's some of the best moments. Just kind of spur of the moment, surprise. Here you go. Right. Go
yeah,
with,
yeah.
Sink or swim.
Because people have asked me that before. And it's kind of, and I guess you know who has a similar story is Gilby. You know, when Gilby Clark joined Guns N' Roses,
mm-hmm.
I guess they only rehearsed like as a band. He never even played with Axl until they went to the first show and they're playing, you know, at the stadium tour, like whatever,
wow.
60,000 people.
That's all.
And he had never even played the set before with Axl or you know as a real band as a unit, and they just went out there and fucking did it, man.
I guess he had a lot of faith in him, you know, like, I believe this guy is going to, you know, come out there and start, you know, just sounding awful, like, we've never practiced before. I didn't know. We didn't know. I didn't understand.
Wow. That's the weird thing that that I've noticed, to be honest with you, you know, the last, whatever, 20 years or 25 years, is that, you know, when you're a kid or you're younger and you, you know, especially if you have your own band, you're like, we need to rehearse, man. We need to write a bunch of, we need to rehearse a lot. We need to be killer. And
right.
then it's funny when you play with these bands that are kind of famous or whatever, they don't really rehearse that much at all.
Right.
It's like wild, you know, it's just, yeah, of course, everybody is confident on their instrument and whatever, but it's not like you're like, hey, we're going to rehearse for 2 months before the tour. It's like, we're going to rehearse for 2 days before the tour.
That's right, man. That's just crazy to think about. But I guess if you're, you know, you've got all your chops down and you're ready to go, there's no sense in trying to, you know, practice all the time. I guess if you got what you need,
yeah.
I guess, you know, but that's a good thing. That's real
yeah.
good. Wow.
Well, I guess it's like I said like earlier, you know, about like the rat thing. They go, listen, we're gonna cancel we don't want to play tomorrow. We're gonna cancel it. Do you want to be in the band? Like, yeah, okay, cool. And the guys probably said, hey, this guy's fucking great. Why? Let's not even play tomorrow. Why do we have to fuck around with doing this all day again, you know?
Right. It saves a lot of time. I mean, I'm just saying there's better things to do, you know? But, like,
yeah,
eat sushi.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, there's a sushi again.
And
so now, after all these years, all these awesome bands you've been playing with, so Night Ranger, how'd you end up with Night Ranger?
Well, it's another.
Here's another one.
Another same story. I'll try to put it in a nutshell. But
sure.
We were playing up in Canada with Alice at a festival, and we were headlining, and they were opening, or one of the opening bands. It was a big festival thing.
Right.
I had never met the guys before, But Damon, the guitar player, which I said earlier was in Alice, he had known Jack. They were working on something a few years prior. I don't know exactly. But so after the show, Damon and I, you know, went and we were talking to Jack and, you know, I'd never met him, of course. We were just bullshitting, blah, blah, blah. Right. And then a few years later, I was actually playing with John Waite at the time. You know, he was just doing a few shows here and there. And I was out at dinner, eating some dinner. It was like, you know, I think it was a day off or something like that. And anyway, then out of nowhere, my phone rings and it was Jack. And he said, he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I, "Oh, just here, you know, eating dinner, whatever." And he goes, "Hey, we need a guitar player for this Canadian run." And it's weird because we met in Canada. They were doing a Canadian tour with Journey.
Wow.
He said, "Hey, do you want to, are you into it? Can you do it? We need." And at that time, I was just kind of filling in. And I said, "I'd love to. That's great. You know, send me the information, send me the songs and stuff." So that's kind of how it happened. Just coincidence, you know, just from knowing people or, you know, he knew I played with Alice and, you know, Damon's friend. And, you know, Damon probably said, "Hey, call Carrie," and called me and I was available. And so we did it. And then here I am, whatever, 8 years later.
That's amazing. Wow. And so you're in the band, do people look at you like, you know, when an original member's not there, like we said earlier, like, you know, Jeff Watson, I mean, do they look at you like you better be like that, or you have this high expectation, or, you know, some people don't like the bands anymore if they have replacements and blah, blah, blah. Do you ever think, well, I'm this guy and I can make this band, you know, just as good as it once was or whatever? Do you ever think stuff like that, or what do you think about?
Yeah, you know, I don't really, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, okay, cool. I don't really think about it too much, to be honest with you. Like I said, I mean, I try to play all the parts, you know, respectfully, and, you know, it's not really my fault if somebody's not in the band, or, you know, like, it's not Gilby's fault if, you know, Izzy is not in Guns N' Roses. You know, he's there to try to do a good job for the for the guys, you know. So that's really all I think about. I just want to go out there and kick ass, do the job properly, have a good time, which is what you came to, you know, rock and roll. You started it to you know, have a good time and hang out with your buddies and drink some beers or whatever.
That's right.
And entertain the people, you know, because they're there to see a show and be entertained and have a good time and be, you know, excited. And that's really what I think about. You know, to be honest with you, I don't think about, I think a lot of people, yes, of course, the diehards might go, "Well, you know, that guy is not the original dude," but I think sometimes people don't even know if you're an original guy or not. I mean, look at Foreigner.
Yeah.
They don't have one guy in the band. Sometimes, sometimes Mick's not even there, you know, but nobody gives a shit. Those guys go out there and kick ass.
That's right.
They put on an incredible show and they sound amazing. That's and the people get entertained, and it's awesome, you know?
And so when you got guys, you know, veterans like, you know, Jack Blade and Kelly Keegi and Brad Willis, and they've been there since the beginning. What does it feel like to jam with them? How is it recording with those guys? How do y'all get along?
Oh, it's easy as cake. I mean, these guys are, I mean, they're so talented, you know, and they're great musicians. They really are. I think more than some people like know, to be honest with you. And they're the coolest people. You know, one thing that's so great about the guys is, you know, you've probably heard stories, and I've said this before in other interviews, you know, where people, some of these bands, you know, from 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, this guy doesn't like that guy, or that guy doesn't like this dude, and we have to get two different buses because this guy's going to choke that guy. And with these guys, there's none of that, dude. Everybody's friends. They love playing music. They love playing live. They like creating new music, which a lot of these kind of heritage or legacy bands don't put records out. I think it's awesome that they want to put records out. So we just have a blast, dude, playing music and having fun, dude, to be honest with you. It's really simple as hell, and I think it is because the guys really do love it, and they still like each other, and it's that's simple, man.
That's good. Wow. And that's why they're still together after all these years. They get along and everything. Well, you...
Yeah, exactly.
And you recorded your first album with them was "Don't Let Up" in 2017. How did that go for you? Do you have a lot of input when you're recording albums and things like that? How does that work when you're recording with the band?
Yeah, I mean it's Jack kind of is the main ringleader, I guess. You know, that really kind of dials everything in. But how it worked was just kind of how it does with most other bands. To be honest, you know, everybody kind of has home studios and stuff these days of some sort. So everybody kind of just had their song ideas or riffs or whatever, and then kind of send them to Jack, and then Jack would kind of sift through them and go, "Hey, this is great," or "That's great. Brad has this song that's killer." "Hey, I like that one. Carrie has," and then I went up to Brad's house a few days, and me and him worked on guitar parts. I went to Jack's studio two different times, and we really worked on things. And it's just a collaborative. It's very simple, very easy. Like I said, everybody's great musicians in the band, so it's not like some struggle to kind of put songs together. But we kind of just have our song ideas or riffs, kind of send them to each other, and then, like I said, Jack kind of really puts them all together and goes, "Hey, this one, that one," and then we really start dialing them in. So it's pretty simple and it's pretty fun.
It sounds like it sounds like a lot of fun and sounds like drama free, right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing these days, right?
I mean, literally, I mean, just do your job, you know, which is creating music or if you're playing live to entertain the people, but and have fun. Dude, I mean, if we're not having fun, if it's miserable, fuck, I've got to play the show. I got to work on some songs. Oh, geez. You know, that's the opposite of what I want to do, and it's the opposite of what these guys want to do. So it works out great.
You think that might be some of the downfall of you know, other bands maybe, or, you know, some of the guys in the band have this attitude of not wanting to get along or not wanting to, they don't enjoy themselves. Oh. I guess if you're miserable, that's why you end up getting booted out or you leave or whatever, right?
Yeah, I've seen it so many different times, or I've heard about it, or I know guys in bands that, you know, bands I haven't been in or this or that. Oh, and I think it's a bummer. And sometimes I tell people, I go, "Dude, you don't know how lucky you guys are that you've had hit records of your own, or or number one songs or whatever." Dude, come on, dude. I mean, you guys got to get this together. I mean, you guys are fucking lucky.
Exactly.
You know, and that's coming from a guy who tried to have his own band a couple of times, and I couldn't get it to work. So then I started, you know, playing with these other bands, but I was always kind of like a replacement guy, quote unquote.
Right.
And some people just don't understand how lucky that they've had it, you know, that they have had their own success in their own band and had hit records or tours or whatever it may be. And I think it's kind of a bummer, but it happens a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know,
sad to say. And that's what makes stories and podcasts and, you know, interviews, you know, this drama that people, nobody wants to hear. Everybody's happy. They're having a great time.
Well, then you get it, you know, you hear it in the books and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you know, I was going to choke this guy and this, you know, F that guy. And, you know, it's just like, you're like going, "Jesus, God, come on, guys. You got to
get it together.
You've made it, man. You know, it's, come on, get it together, you know?"
Exactly. It's mind boggling. And so the new album's coming out just 2 days from now, and it's called ATBPO, and the band played on. So where did that come from, that title?
That Jack came up with it. You know, we were, a couple months ago, when they were doing the artwork and the whole nine yards, you know, it's like, "Hey, we need to have, what are we going to call the album?" And then just like the songs, everybody starts sending over their names, email, "Hey, what about this? Hey, what about this? What about that?" And Jack just came up with that, and the band played on, and it's basically the story of last year, you know, with the good old corona COVID and all that.
Gotta love it.
You know, we were just starting to work on the record right when, you know, the shutdown kind of started happening, and then we kind of took a break for a month or two when we didn't know if the world was going to end, per se.
Exactly.
But then after that, when we saw everything was going to be okay eventually, we just kept working, man. We just kept working on the songs and doing it and writing them. And that's basically what it is, man. And the band played on. We just kept doing it. And here we are with the new record, you know?
It's kind of like a survival story. not just through the pandemic, but the whole career, right? It kind of sums up the whole right idea of keeping on going and playing, right?
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
And the first two singles, Breakout and Bring It On Home to Me, the videos are cool. The songs are cool. Man, a lot of cool guitar parts by you, by the way, I might add. And
rad, dude.
It's so awesome. I was watching last night jamming out. I was like, oh, man, so cool. And the videos, though, where were the videos recorded at?
Yeah, we did those out here in California at the Salton Sea. So the Salton Sea is about, I don't know, half hour south of Palm Springs. And what it was is, I guess back in the 50s and the 60s, you know, the Rat Pack guys, you know, yeah. They would go to Vegas and then they're in Palm Springs. It was the other destination. The Salton Sea was part of the Colorado River, and they wanted to make that into like their river boat hangout and all this crap. So they started doing, building buildings and, you know, whatever, all these, you know, bay clubs and all this kind of crap, and building the community up down there because it was like a Rat Pack kind of hot spot.
Right.
And then eventually, I don't know exactly when it happened, I think it was in the 70s, they rerouted the Colorado River somehow. And so the river or the lake, you know, the Salton Sea or whatever, like basically dried up. And so the town kind of just faded away.
Wow.
So it's kind of like this weirdo, desolate, like, you know, just
like a ghost town, like,
yeah. Of shit from the 60s and whatever, 50s, 60s and 70s.
Wow.
But it's an interesting backdrop, obviously, for the photos we did out there, and we did the videos out there, because it's so trippy. It's like, you know, just like abandoned weirdo town, you know. So it's artistic, let's put it that way.
It works. And
I
like the part y'all were I think you were looking like had your head stuck out the window and y'all were singing all together with your heads. Kind of remind me of the Journey video with the Separate Ways video. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course.
That's awesome, man. And
cool, dude.
Speaking of Colorado, though, you're playing in Colorado, I think, coming up a couple of days too, right?
Yeah, man. That's on. Actually, it's on Friday on the release date of the record. So hopefully we'll be able to play a few songs for the people of the new record, man.
How cool is that? And I was reading you have a Kiss cruise coming up, right?
Yeah.
That's
our good buddies over there.
Awesome stuff. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun. And this album's coming out, like you said, on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. And I appreciate you hanging out and talking to me.
Absolutely, brother. It was a great time, man. I mean, it's cool to tell a bunch of stories and, entertain your listeners for a little bit. So thank you for having me on as well. And then, hopefully we'll be down around your neck of the woods down there, but, you know, next to Florida sometime soon.
That's right. I'll be looking forward to it, man. I thank you for hanging out. Everybody's going to get a kick out of this. So they're going to enjoy the stories and the sushi and everything. They're going to want to buy more sushi. My revenue's going to go up because sushi lovers everywhere will support me.
I love it. I might get some sushi tonight.
There you go.
We'll see if I get any phone calls, you know?
Sounds like a commercial. Sushi tonight.
Yeah. Awesome, brother.
All right,
hey,
man.
Thank you. Have a good day out there, and I'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Hello everybody, Gary Stuckey here. Be sure to head on over to my YouTube channel, Real Music with Gary Stuckey. That's right, I've got a YouTube channel that goes along with this podcast, but I'll be doing more than just interviews. I'll be talking about all kinds of music and what's been happening in the music world, especially the rock music world. That's right, so go check it out and subscribe. And if you would like to help out this podcast, I would really appreciate it. And you could support by clicking on the support button and giving whatever amount that you feel like. I thank you so much, and remember to keep the music real.